Hey, it's Kira Davis here. Are you like me and looking to get in shape for summer? Well, I've got a deal that can help you. You can eat stress-free this spring with Factor's delicious, ready-to-eat meals. Every fresh, never-frozen meal is chef-crafted, dietitian-approved, and ready to eat in just 2 minutes. Choose from a weekly menu of 35 options, including popular options like Calorie Smart, Keto, Protein Plus, or Vegan and Veggie. Also, discover more than 60 add-ons every week, like breakfast, on-the-go lunch, snacks, and beverages to help you stay fueled and feel good all day long. What are you waiting for? Get started today and fuel up for your springtime goals. One of my favorite things about Factor Meals is how easy they are. You can get chef-prepared meals on the table in 2 minutes with Factor's ready-to-eat meals, so you can get back to doing what you love this spring. Are you looking for something a little fancier? Say no more. You can try meals that feature premium ingredients like filet mignon, shrimp, truffle butter, broccolini, and asparagus. Factor is your solution for fast, premium meals without the need for cooking. And if you're the type that likes to look out for the environment while you're getting in shape for that summer bod, you'll be happy to know that Factor is celebrating Earth Day all month long. So look out for the Earth Month Eats badge on the menu for their lowest carbon footprint meals. And fans of Just Listen to Yourself get a very special deal on Factor this month. Head to factormeals.com/JLTY50 and use code JLTY50 to get 50% off your first month. Plus, get this, plus 20% off your next month. I got to tell you guys that again because I know you can't believe it. Use code JLTY50 at factormeals.com/JLTY50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is active.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
This is the FCB Podcast Network.
I pray the Lord my soul today that we won't stay, then we won't stay. All we got is us, no one can take that away.
Yeah.
So don't stay, it's gonna be okay. I pray the Lord my soul today that we won't stay, then we won't stay. All we got is us, no one can take that away.
Yeah.
So don't stay, it's gonna be okay.
Hey everybody, welcome to another episode of Just Listen to Yourself with Kira Davis. I'm your host, Kira Davis, and this is the podcast where we take hot topics, hot button issues, and we discuss the talking points on those topics, and we draw them all the way out to their logical conclusion, because I believe that sometimes we're not saying the thing we think we're saying. So this is an exercise in what? Critical thinking and, yes, persuasion. This topic I thought was going to be a little lighter. I thought this would be one of those topics where I would just sort of think through it as I was talking. But as I was doing my research, I kept coming across more and more things and more quotes and articles and discussions that made me think and made me draw different conclusions or just gave me different talking points to discuss. It just, the research blew up and I was starting to get a little overwhelmed by the amount of discussion surrounding this topic. So I was, you know, trying to dig into everything to make sure I had all sides of this thing represented, at least in my own mind. And finally, I just said to myself, I've just got to sit down and start recording. So I'm talking through this as I usually do as we move along.
finally just had to convince myself, like, just do it. Because you could sit here and think about it forever, right? But the whole purpose of the show is for you to hear me thinking about it and hopefully for you to think about it too. So as we move along, I want you to keep in mind that I always want to hear your thoughts on the issue. I always want to hear your point of view. And if you disagree with me, I love that. And I love it even more when you agree with me, obviously. But you can write me at jlty@protonmail.com, jlty@protonmail.com, and tell me your thoughts on this issue. Today's issue is, what should the relationship between government and the media be? And the topic came up because we've been covering the drop of the Twitter files over on Twitter for the last few weeks. I guess it's been a month or more since they've started dripping out, and it's a lot. Now, if you don't pay attention to conservative media or to Twitter, you may not have heard all of the things that are being revealed as Elon Musk is releasing the information that has been stored over at Twitter since he took over. But some of it is downright scandalous, truly. And there's a couple of reasons why you may not have heard about it. A, the mainstream media, which is particularly the progressive media, doesn't want to cover this because they're complicit in this very strange relationship that popped up after the election of Donald Trump between the media and the government. I shouldn't say it popped up. I guess it's always been going on to a certain extent, and probably from the beginning of the Republic. But it definitely hit new levels and disturbing levels after the election of Donald Trump, and particularly in 2020 after he lost. And we all know what happened after that. So they don't necessarily want to tell the story that incriminates them, right? But also, it's very chunky. It's just a very chunky story. I was trying to write up one thread, and it took a lot. It took a lot of effort and a lot of focus. You know, I'm used to just giving my opinion on things, but having to really recap what was being put out there in these files and all of the documentation that came along with it. Yeah, it's hard for people to digest, particularly in an age where our media is so condensed, right, and focused, and we get our media in headlines and sound bites. Most people don't want to have to sit down and think about what they're reading. Probably another reason why we do this show, right? It's an opportunity to think. And that means that this show isn't necessarily for everyone. Not everyone wants to think. But here, we're going to think through this today. And that is all I have to offer you, is to think through it. As always, I am not an expert on this topic. I am a member of the media. I'm a member of the right-wing media. Obviously, you guys know that about me. If you don't, you do now. So I guess in that respect, I have a certain amount of expertise, but I've never really considered myself, how do I say this? And longtime listeners of this podcast know I say this a lot. I don't consider myself an intellectual titan. Far from it. As a matter of fact, one of the reasons why I like to do this show and I like to discuss all these different topics is because I think we've left too much of this to the intellectual titans. And sometimes just average thinkers like myself, just average people, we have opinions too. And we have ideas about things too. And sometimes it's best to distill those ideas into digestible bites. I think it's important for the layperson to be able to discuss and process politics and culture in a way that doesn't feel exclusive. You know, again, there is this idea that if you're only allowed to talk about this stuff and break down this stuff if you have a certain quality of education or a certain IQ. The biggest compliment I get is when people say, you know what, you're saying exactly what I think. And I just never knew how to express it. So I just sort of like what we do to be politics and culture for dummies, for lack of a better term. You know, I'm one of the dummies. Just like making everything a little more basic so we can all participate in the process. So as I was saying, sometimes I think like the quote, ministry of expertise can separate the common man from the intellectual exercises of a republic. So I seek to sort of reconcile those things again. Well, let's get into it. What should the relationship between government and press be? Again, I said that this came about because we were looking into the Twitter files. The dumps are still going on. We cover them at Red State if you would like them more condensed and, you know, accompanied by a little bit of explanation. You can go over to redstate.com and you can search Twitter files and stuff will come up. I've written some stuff. We've sort of been sharing the burden among the writers over there. Just know that Red State, as in the name, is a right-wing blog. So you're going to get your news from that position. Or you can just go look up the hashtag on Twitter and you can see the direct dumps yourself. But maybe we should define what media is, because something interesting has happened with media over the last 10 to 15 years, hasn't it? Social media has popped up and kind of is media. So there's press. And I think really what I'm talking about is the relationship between the press and the government. And there's a lot of content out there on freedom of press. It's a part of our Constitution. We're going to talk about what the founding fathers thought about freedom of the press and why or why not it's important. But I do include in that social media. And that is because I do believe social media and the press are one now. Social media has other uses, right? The press does not. The press has one mission, which is to disseminate information and investigate. Social media has many missions, right? It supports the press, it becomes media, but also it's just for you to connect with your friends, your family, have discussions. It's more of a public square. I believe I did an episode on whether or not social media should be regulated or something like that back in one of my earlier episodes. And I did set up Twitter and Facebook and social media giants like that as sort of a public square. So social media is that, but it's safe to say, I believe at this point in history, that there's no press without social media, because you really can't disseminate your message without social media, not on a large scale. We barely have printed newspapers anymore because these things have moved online. And if you publish, now you can publish something on a website online, like we do at Red State, and not disseminate it to social media, but that is your newspaper boy. Social media is the newspaper boy these days. So there's no way to get out your publication if you don't use social media, if you don't have social media accounts. It's almost invisible. I feel like we can all agree on that. And social media is directly tied to the press because of this incestuous relationship that has developed. We're going to talk about it between government and social media as well. And that has begun to include the media. So social media entities like Twitter pre-Elon Musk or Facebook and YouTube right now, they have themselves censored press outlets. They've done it to particularly conservative press outlets, you know, not necessarily related to what the government is telling them what to do, but they have their own standards and their own ideas and their own biases. So social media has become a bit of a regulating authority for the press as well. And we're going to get into that. So I think it's safe to say that social media and press are sort of the same thing. They at least lay in the same bed. Lay in the same bed? Lie in the same bed? Well, probably both apply. To begin with, let's start with what's outlined in our very own Constitution, the First Amendment, freedom of speech, which covers a lot, and I think on purpose. But the First Amendment says Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment or of religion. Here's the part that everybody forgets, or prohibiting the free exercise thereof. I always remind people when, you know, when my progressive friends are like, oh, church and state, separation of church and state, the Congress will not establish a religion. And I'm always like, yeah, take that further. What's the next part of that sentence? Or prohibiting the free exercise thereof. So anybody anywhere can exercise their religion. And that means, yeah, if you are a government representative, you get to exercise exercise your right to religion. Anyway, or abridging the freedom of speech or of the press or the right of the people to peaceably assemble and to petition the government for a redress of grievances. Okay, we're very familiar with that. So the government at that time, or the founding fathers at that time, found it essential for press to be free. You can understand how they got there because they were dealing with a king who was thousands of miles away, who was dictating everything, every facet of life in the colonies without having set foot there, without knowing what life was like there or what the challenges were there. And then in squashing dissent, as the British Empire did all over the world. So they obviously felt it important to be able to notify the citizens of their republic of what is going on without interference from the government, because they saw firsthand how the government could hinder communications between people and hinder the truth and then make it difficult for you to prosecute the truth. Benjamin Franklin, who had a lot to say about the freedom of the press and freedom of speech, because he was a member of the media himself. Without freedom of thought, there can be no such thing as wisdom and no such thing as public liberty without the freedom of speech. So that First Amendment is hugely important, and the press is hugely important to that, because if you can't say all of your ideas, if you can't have everything out there, if you can't have all the information out there, or at least the most information possible, then you can't have wisdom, because you don't have a fully rounded view of this. Is the thing I find most bizarre about the censorship proclivities of the progressive left, is that anybody who feels like they want to seek wisdom and rightness, to me, I mean, it doesn't even make sense then to be like, oh, well, we can only hear one side of the story, or we can only hear one view of this topic, and then that makes us wise. Like, that's so foolish. It really is. I find it absolutely perplexing. And of course, it's the opposite of wisdom. It is foolishness. How could I make a wise decision regarding, let's say, an argument between my children? How could I make a wise decision about, well, who is should bear the brunt of this punishment and who is just the victim? If I don't hear both sides, if I just say, okay, well, you know what? My son is my favorite this week, because my favorite, my love can be bought, as I tell my children all the time. I can go in and out of favoritism. But you know, my son is more truthful, I find, and I like him better today, or, you know, whatever. I trust him more. He's older. So I don't need to hear my daughter's point of view. I'm just going to take my son's side. And this is the decision I'm rendering on this argument you're having. That's not a wise decision. There's no wisdom in that. How could I possibly render a fair and just decision regarding my children if I'm not willing to hear them both out, hear both sides, even if one side is a lie? I certainly need to hear that so I know which side is the truth. Thomas Jefferson says reason and free inquiry are the only effectual agents against error. Again, if you want to apply that quote to what we've been seeing through the suppression of COVID discussion, and we're going to get into that with the Twitter files that I was digging into a couple weeks ago, you know, especially when you're talking about health topics. And of course, now this idea of the vaccine causing cardiac arrest and cardiac issues, which is very concerning. We can't illuminate any errors in that discussion if we're not allowed to have a free discussion about that. We can't have a free discussion about it if we're not allowed to have a free press to present and disseminate information. And if we would say that the press's job is anything, it is to gather and disseminate information that is valuable to the republic, be it on the federal level or your local level, in your suburb, wherever. Benjamin Franklin said in the Dogwood Papers, in those wretched countries where a man cannot call his tongue his own, he can scarce call anything his own. Whoever would overthrow the liberty of a nation must begin by subduing the freeness of speech. a thing terrible to public traders.
Hey, it's Kira Davis here. Are you like me and looking to get in shape for summer? Well, I've got a deal that can help you. You can eat stress-free this spring with Factor's delicious, ready-to-eat meals. Every fresh, never-frozen meal is chef-crafted, dietitian-approved, and ready to eat in just 2 minutes. Choose from a weekly menu of 35 options, including popular options like Calorie Smart, Keto, Protein Plus, or Vegan and Veggie. Also, discover more than 60 add-ons every week, like breakfast, on-the-go lunch, snacks, and beverages to help you stay fueled and feel good all day long. What are you waiting for? Get started today and fuel up for your springtime goals. One of my favorite things about Factor Meals is how easy they are. You can get chef-prepared meals on the table in 2 minutes with Factor's ready-to-eat meals, so you can get back to doing what you love this spring. Are you looking for something a little fancier? Say no more. You can try meals that feature premium ingredients like filet mignon, shrimp, truffle butter, broccolini, and asparagus. Factor is your solution for fast, premium meals without the need for cooking. And if you're the type that likes to look out for the environment while you're getting in shape for that summer bod, you'll be happy to know that Factor is celebrating Earth Day all month long. So look out for the Earth Month Eats badge on the menu for their lowest carbon footprint meals. And fans of Just Listen to Yourself get a very special deal on Factor this month. Head to factormeals.com/JLTY50 and use code JLTY50 to get 50% off your first month. Plus, get this, plus 20% off your next month. I got to tell you guys that again because I know you can't believe it. Use code JLTY50 at factormeals.com/JLTY50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is active.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18-plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
This is Darvio Kingpin Morrow. I want you to add another show to your podcast rotation. My show, The Outlaws Radio Show. We are an entertaining and informative show that talks about everything from pop culture to politics. Nothing's off limits. My co-host Robin O'Malley brings you the latest news and gossip in the entertainment world on our segment, Tea Time with Ro. My other co-host, Dante Bry, rants on political issues in our segment, Dante's Hot Takes. And also, we bring you some of the best interviews with people in the worlds of politics, entertainment, culture, and more. We're a lighthearted show that doesn't judge you for the way you vote, and we don't spend our time shoving media narratives down people's throats. If that sounds like the show for you, subscribe to the Outlaws Radio Show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, or wherever you get your podcasts. That's OUTLAWS, The Outlaws Radio Show.
Thomas Jefferson also had a lot to say about the press. He wrote a lot about the press, and he did not have a favorable relationship with the press. But he wrote, "No government ought to be without censors, and where the press is free, no one ever will." And he also said, "Our liberty depends on the freedom of the press, and that cannot be limited without being lost." And I think that those are very prescient statements. I don't think there's a good argument for the government to be involved in a how do I want to put it, in a cozy or symbiotic relationship with the press. I don't think the government should ever be cozy with the press. Of course, you can have a cordial and diplomatic relationship. Now, you see all of that back and forth in the White House press room. Those people get at each other's throats. The press secretary, be it KJP now or Jen Psaki or whoever it is at any given time, you'll see them going back and forth with those people. But at the end of the day, they are all colleagues and they do consider themselves colleagues. So there is a certain level of respect. I mean, some people just hate each other. I get that. And you know where you are. There are some people you just don't like. So there is a relationship there. And so I'm not saying, or like Obama used to have a great relationship with the press, with the press corps that traveled with him. He would often be seen in the section of Air Force One that carries the press corps, chatting with them, hanging out. And, you know, some of that was hero worship. People just worshiped Obama as the first black president. But also some of it was like, hey, these people are, he basically travels with them and works with them. It's their job to keep tabs on him. And you know, you travel with people, you get to know them. There's a certain element of that, and I don't think that there's anything wrong with that. I think it's unavoidable. Some people can avoid it, but it's at great cost, and it's probably a very lonely existence. There's that. I'm not criticizing that, but what I am criticizing is the idea that a press really likes an administration. When Donald Trump was in office, and he was complaining about fake news and biased news and all of that, and he had a vicious, and still does to this day, a vicious relationship with the mainstream press and even a lot of the conservative press at this point, I never found that to be a problem. I never thought, he hates the press and isn't that awful. I don't think they should like each other. The press should always be suspicious of the people that they're covering. Oprah is not the press. Oprah is an interviewer. And so it is her job to make you feel comfortable with her. And maybe you feel friendly with her and you feel like you're a friend when you're sitting down with her. She has an interview style that can put people at ease. And therefore, you're going to get maybe a lot more openness and honesty with your subject. She's very good at it. It's why she is who she is in the industry. And fair is fair. That's fair. But she is not, at this point in her career, she started out as press, but at this point in her career, she's not press. She's operating as Oprah, an interviewer. But someone like Jake Tapper, who is explicitly press, explicitly a journalist, so he will call himself, he does have the responsibility to conduct an interview that does feel a little contentious. The subject should feel a little on edge. The subject should feel like they are probing for information. It shouldn't feel like two friends talking. We depend on the press to disseminate information. But we can't be certain that we're getting all the right information if the press is buddy, buddy, cozy, cozy. So while I don't think it always has to be this like flaming discontent, it doesn't have to be that or where you're at war all the time. But there should be some measure of tension between, for instance, the White House press corps and the White House and whatever administration is in there. There should be some measure of tension there. Because the White House or any government entity should feel that these people are there to hold them to account. To my mind, that is what the press is for, is to hold the elites in our society, the power players in our society, to account. Sometimes that's through the investigative process, right? That you see like Woodward and Bernstein or some of the investigative reporters you see nowadays. But sometimes that's just through the process of just letting people know what's going on. Even just, hey, this is where Governor Newsom is going to be today. This is what his calendar says. This is what President Obama's calendar says. This is where he's going to be. Just giving that information to a curious public rather than all of that being able to be secret undercover and then say Obama or Newsom can go and meet with people they're not supposed to meet with and go places they're not supposed to go. Go do things that if they get to fly under the radar can lead to some very nefarious outcomes. But if you have a press that is simply saying, oh, no, here is our public calendar, here's where they went, even that is a form of accountability. What happens to accountability when the government controls the press? When the government controls what the press puts out there? It becomes dangerous for everyone. Let's move on to these Twitter files. I want to talk about this and use it as an example as to why the relationship between government and the press needs to have a firewall between it. So Matt Taibbi, is that how you say it? I've never heard his name said out loud. T-A-I-B-B-I, Taibbi, is one of Elon Musk's trusted independent reporters. He is not a conservative and has not been friendly to conservatives at all. So I believe that Musk's purpose in picking independent reporters was to try to avoid this idea of like, oh, I'm being biased in this. Unfortunately, because of the craziness of the progressive left, if you're not towing a progressive left line all the time ideologically, then you're just considered on the right. So even though people like Matt and Barry Weiss, who's been doing a lot of the drops, even though they're not conservatives at all, and I've met Barry and she is not a conservative, they are considered that just because they're not, just because they're open-minded and independent, which is very sad, which is another result of government pressuring media. It begins to tribalize. So when COVID first hit, as it turns out, Twitter was getting all kinds of pressure from the government to start censoring and downright banning certain forms of information. So at the top of the COVID pandemic, the State Department had a subdivision called the Global Engagement Center, the GEC. And the Global Engagement Center was putting forth a lot of information about COVID and forwarding it to social media entities like Twitter. And we can imagine that it went to all of them, the big players anyway, like Facebook and YouTube. And asking them to flag accounts that referred to distasteful misinformation, I guess is what they called it, about COVID and the coronavirus. They wanted Twitter to flag anything, any account, to flag, ban, or suppress any account based on criteria like describing the coronavirus as an engineered bioweapon, blaming research conducted at the Wuhan Institute, or attributing the appearance of the virus to the CIA. It got worse, though, because you may say, we're going to talk about this devil's advocate here. Let's talk about it now. Might as well. Devil's advocate. I've got some devil's advocate points here. Kira, it's really important for the government to have a hand in media, what the media is disseminating, because misinformation is so dangerous. Misinformation or disinformation, whichever you prefer to use. It's dangerous. It's for the public good. First of all, I completely dispute that. I don't even think that's a good argument. I really, really don't. I don't think there are any cases, and there are cases for the government to keep some things classified, right? Sometimes within itself, the government has operations going on that are classified for the betterment of national security. I mean, your list of international agents that you have out there, that's classified information for good reason. You're engaging in spying operations or information gathering operations. I mean, all of that clandestine, you know, James Bond stuff that every nation does. And you don't want to put those people in danger and in turn put perhaps proprietary information in danger or information that's important to national security at risk. So obviously there are some things that are classified within the government. But for the government to tell media that something has to be classified or has to be suppressed because it goes against the public good, I just think that is very, very dangerous. And especially when it comes to health information. Because if we go back to that quote from Benjamin Franklin, it makes sense. Without freedom of thought, there can be no such thing as wisdom. Or even from Thomas Jefferson, which I read after that. Reason and free inquiry are the only effectual agents against error. how dare we just assume that the information that one place is giving us is the information? How can we process it? How can we determine the truth or the value of it if we're not allowed to question it? That is the very heart of the scientific method. When it comes to any kind of research, when it comes to any kind of intellectual discussion, I talked about this during the Kevin McCarthy kerfuffle, during the Speaker of the House nastiness. And, you know, there were a lot of conservatives particularly who were saying, this is dangerous. You know, everybody just needs to get on board. We need to elect the Speaker of the House. They know it's going to be Kevin McCarthy. Everyone needs to agree. The Democrats are united. Why can't the Republicans put on a united front? Like, now these people who are opposing, you know, the speakership and asking for him to cut some deals or make some concessions, they're just putting the united front of the Republicans in danger. And my thing was like, no, why should they come to the table with their minds already made up? That's ridiculous. Who even wants that? If you're in an intellectual discussion, a political discussion, if you're in a discussion that holds something as important as the House of Representatives and the direction it goes in its hands, at its core, like, yeah, shouldn't you want people to give their opposing and dissenting views? When you're in a writer's room, in a Hollywood writer's room, you have different writers with different ideas about how a script should go. Do you want every writer coming into that room with the same idea? No, absolutely not. That's how you get garbage. That's how you get trash. And there's no good room of Hollywood writers that would say, oh yeah, we don't like it when people have differing ideas. We prefer everyone to come in with the same fully formed idea, and then it's just easier to write the script. No, because that's not how you get a good script. There's got to be a push and a pull. There's got to be ideas. There's got to be a back and forth. There has to be disagreement. And then that's how you get a really great, sharp product. So the idea from the start that there could be no dissenting information on COVID, its origins, what it did, what it didn't do, that I at the time I thought it was ridiculous. And I think we are seeing now, because the truth is finally coming out, that it is really ridiculous. And not only ridiculous, but dangerous. And that is dangerous to the health of Americans. What is the first thing people will always tell you if you get diagnosed with something serious? Go find a second opinion. You need to make sure that you followed up all the avenues. But in this case, the government was telling media, no, there are no second opinions on this. And we would prefer if you censor any second opinions. So this whole thing about social media being media, this is a great example of it. The State Department coming to Twitter and saying, you need to censor these things, and then Twitter censoring them, and then the result being that people like us on the right, like even us at Red State, we had to get in line with that or lose our accounts. And are we a news company if we have no way to disseminate the news?
Hey, it's Kira Davis here. Are you like me and looking to get in shape for summer? Well, I've got a deal that can help you. You can eat stress-free this spring with Factor's delicious, ready-to-eat meals. Every fresh, never-frozen meal is chef-crafted, dietitian-approved, and ready to eat in just 2 minutes. Choose from a weekly menu of 35 options, including popular options like Calorie Smart, Keto, Protein Plus, or Vegan and Veggie. Also, discover more than 60 add-ons every week, like breakfast, on-the-go lunch, snacks, and beverages to help you stay fueled and feel good all day long. What are you waiting for? Get started today and fuel up for your springtime goals. One of my favorite things about Factor Meals is how easy they are. You can get chef-prepared meals on the table in 2 minutes with Factor's ready-to-eat meals, so you can get back to doing what you love this spring. Are you looking for something a little fancier? Say no more. You can try meals that feature premium ingredients like filet mignon, shrimp, truffle butter, broccolini, and asparagus. Factor is your solution for fast, premium meals without the need for cooking. And if you're the type that likes to look out for the environment while you're getting in shape for that summer bod, you'll be happy to know that Factor is celebrating Earth Day all month long. So look out for the Earth Month Eats badge on the menu for their lowest carbon footprint meals. And fans of Just Listen to Yourself get a very special deal on Factor this month. Head to factormeals.com/JLTY50 and use code JLTY50 to get 50% off your first month, plus, get this, plus 20% off your next month. I got to tell you guys that again because I know you can't believe it. Use code JLTY50 at factormeals.com/JLTY50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is active.
With the Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+ terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.
This is Darvio Kingpin Morrow, co-host of the Outlaws Radio Show. And if you haven't heard our show before, check out this clip.
J.D. Vance.
One of the things I think we have to do on the Republican side, because we've got the white working class, and I think we've got them solid, is start to attract, you know, the Black and I guess now the Latino working class into our coalition. Because I think if we do that and we serve those voters well, I mean, we could become the majority party in this country for a generation if we actually see the opportunity. And you know, what I tell a lot of my friends, you know, who are a little older than I am, I'm 37 years old. A lot of them say, well, you know, we really want to get back to country club set in the Republican Party. And I say, look, at the end of the day, like, we're going to be a stronger party if we accept that the country club set maybe is never coming back, but we acquire some of those Black and Hispanic working class voters into our coalition. Like, let the country club set go, you know, let them use their preferred pronouns and obsess about racial issues and gender issues, because they're all crazy. And I think that this is something that actually unites a lot of working class white and Black folks, is we just want to live in a country where we don't have to obsessively worry about everything that we say.
Subscribe to the Outlaws Radio Show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, or wherever you get your podcasts. That's OUTLAWS, the Outlaws Radio Show, an FCB radio podcast.
But not only, here's the thing, not only was the government coming to media and saying, to social media, to Twitter in particular in this case, and saying, we want you to flag or ban accounts that are tweeting out this disinformation. We want you to flag and ban accounts that are retweeting the disinformation. So not the people that have put out the information, but the people that are sharing the information. So Twitter banned Zero Hedge, excuse me, for speculating about a lab leak origin. And the State Department said, well, we also want you to flag anybody who retweeted the Zero Hedge report. There was a media hub that was run by the government that was there in place to sort of navigate all this information throughout COVID. And at one point, they actually sent a letter to the Twitter executive, to Twitter executive Yoel Roth, who no longer works there. They sent him a letter that said, you know what, we're concerned that you haven't attributed anything to Russian disinformation in a long time. See, that was the other thing. Anything that was disinformation was asked to be labeled as Russian disinformation. And because Twitter was sort of getting uncomfortable with that because they weren't seeing the proof. You can read this report, by the way, under Twitter files. This particular drop is called the belly button for various reasons included in the story. It's called the FBI's belly button. And because basically, I'll say the FBI became the belly button. It became a hub of communications between the government and media, particularly Twitter. And so this media hub came to Yoel Roth and said, "We're concerned, actually, you haven't really been blaming Russia enough. So we can get you some information, or we can get you some statements to help out with that if you want." But even the progressive leftists running Twitter at that time were going, "But there's not enough proof. Like, this feels weird. It feels like we're violating our own standards because we actually don't have any data points, technological data points to prove this. Like, they're not seeing IP addresses from Russia. They're not seeing the bots, or like none of these were real people reporting these real facts that they, a lot of the facts that were being reported were from the CDC, were from prior reports from places like the CDC or from think tanks, from well-respected left-wing think tanks. But if they did not line up with what the GEC wanted, they were labeled as disinformation. And people spreading them were asked, the government was asking Twitter to label those as Russian accounts, Russian influenced accounts. And what was the result? Well, let's go to Barry Weiss's Twitter drop. She did the second Twitter drop, the secret blacklist. That's what we called it at, that's what she called it. And that's what we labeled it at Red State, if you want to go look it up there. And she says, take, for example, Stanford's Dr. Jay Bhattacharya, who argued that COVID lockdowns would harm children. Twitter secretly placed him on a trends blacklist, which prevented his tweets from trending. So here is a doctor, an educated person, who was saying, hey, I'm concerned about what these lockdowns are going to do to our children who are not at risk. That information was being banned. That information was being flagged by the government, and the government was pressuring media through social media to suppress that information and to combat that information with their approved information. And what happened? Now, in 2023, we are now seeing elevated levels of suicide among youth, mental illness among youth, and extremely disturbing drops in education rate and outcomes directly related to COVID. And it's no longer a red flag to say those things out loud. Even progressive media is reporting that, because the truth has become too big to fail in so many words. The truth can't be suppressed on it. So if we had the opportunity, if the media was doing their God-given job, which was just to disseminate the information and let people decide, if we had been able to have a robust discussion on this issue, we might have been able to spare our children this horror that they've had to experience over the last 3 years. And instead, we subjected them to the burden, the biggest burden of this whole COVID debacle. They bore the largest portion of the burden when they should have had the lightest, because they were the least at risk. And now studies have proven that. And you were getting banned or called a granny killer for suggesting at the time that children did not pose a risk to teachers, to their families. For whatever reason, the virus wouldn't stick to them. It wasn't sticky. That's what they would call it. It wasn't sticky. There was no proof of elevated transmission in classrooms at schools. Believe it or not, the germ factories that they are, perhaps that's why. Because there were elevated, you know, immune systems there because of all the germs that those kids share. Suddenly you kept them out of school. They weren't sharing their germs. Their immune systems weren't doing the regular jobs that they were created to do. And then you have this myriad of other problems. Well, just mentioning those were getting you banned from media information dissemination. And that was a direct result of the government pressuring media. That's dangerous. So this idea of, well, you know, the government does need to control disinformation. It really does not. Now, the government might have covert operations to do that, may have different operations, different ways to do that. But one way cannot be interference with the media. It cannot. You interfere with the media's job, or even when the media lets you, and you interfere with wisdom itself, per our founding fathers. We were not allowed to explore errors or faulty ideas when it came to COVID, and it cost our children everything. Of course, Bari goes on in her Twitter files drop to talk about specific accounts that the government was contacting Twitter about. And you know, if they're contacting Twitter, they were doing it in Facebook and YouTube too. And I can guarantee you, with Elon taking over Twitter, there's a lot of shredding going on at those other media giants, or social media giants, if you will. But she talks about how the government asked them to put libs of TikTok on a blacklist. So what does libs of TikTok do? She's been getting all kinds of hell from the left, but all she does is amplify what the left says. Now she's moved in a little more into editorializing. I mean, she's got a relationship with Seth Dillon of the Babylon Bee, and they've, you know, and rightfully so, he's helped her develop a platform where she can monetize what she's doing. And it's turned her into a bit of an editor when it comes to this stuff. But when she started Libs of TikTok, there was no contextualization. There still really isn't. It's taking the clips that these liberals put on, I'm not even going to call them liberals, progressives put on their own social media accounts and just sending it out to the world, for the world to see. And yet she was made the bad guy. That should bother you. Progressives, that should bother you. Like when the government says, this is a dangerous account because she's doing nothing but amplifying the crazy. Like, we know the crazy's out there, but the crazy's not the problem. The crazy is the person who's letting everybody else know that it's there. Like, that's weird and scary. They asked for them to put Charlie Kirk of TPUSA on a do not amplify list. Again, if we look at Twitter as like a virtual version of a newspaper boy, that's like the government going to the newspaper boy and saying, you're only allowed to deliver the comics section of the newspaper and the sports section. We're going to take out all of these other, we're going to take out the news. We're going to take out the weather. We don't want people worrying about the weather. We just want them to do what they do, no matter, you know, regardless of what the weather does, whatever. It's that same idea of the government sort of peeling out information that they don't think that the citizens should have. And this is not government information, by the way. Again, it's one thing if the government says, hey, this is classified information, we don't want this out. It's not government information. It's information that is freely available to the public, and we're not allowed to share it with each other. That should disturb you. The government should not have this kind of cozy relationship with media. A government official should not be able, and we know that they do, and this is, again, I'm not saying that this is new. It's just worse than ever. It's scarier than ever because it's bigger than ever. There's plenty of, the Obama administration did it. I think they put a New York Times reporter in jail. Because what he wanted to tell a story and that reflected disfavorably on the Obama administration. And so they said, we don't want you to release this information. And if you do, we're going to come and arrest you. So there are cases of where the government makes calls to newsrooms, of course, and says, we don't want you to publish this, or we'd like you to hold off on this. And perhaps there are times when that happens. Of course, there is some kind of tit for tat. This is the X factor of the business, of any business. It's like that in entertainment reporting. It's like, what are you willing to do as a reporter to make sure you get the next story, or to make sure you get the exclusive? So, you know, it's not all black and white. Of course, sometimes you're going, all right, ethically speaking, I don't think that this person in the State Department has the right to tell me I can't publish this information. But if I agree to hold off on it a day, he's going to make sure that I'm the person that gets to report the whole story. Stuff like that, sure, that's always happened and probably always will. But the idea that the government can call up the New York Times, Twitter, Facebook, and all at the same time, by the way, all of these people were on the same phone call. They used Signal. They used the private messaging app Signal to hold virtual meetings. And on those meetings, this is all in the Twitter files right here. You can go and look up the stories like I told you. In those virtual meetings were the FBI, the CIA, the State Department, Twitter, and several other media outlets. They were all a part of it. That should be chilling to anybody who thinks that the media's responsibility is to disseminate information. It is not the media. I can tell you what the media is not supposed to do, and it is not supposed to squash information. That is the very opposite of what media is, regardless of your ideology. I mean, it's just like the very basic. What's a newspaper isn't a blank piece of paper. Like, here's all the information we didn't print. It is literally the dissemination of information. So the idea that a media company would sit down with government authorities and say, we're going to squash this information. Here's the information we're not going to provide. We're not going to be allowed to be seen, is abhorrent. We say, well, you know, Kira, we depend on the specialists and the experts to tell us what information is good for sharing, what information is not misinformation. But which experts? Well, there's a lot of experts. There's a ton of experts, doctors who came out in the beginning of COVID and said, hey, we've been treating viruses like this with ivermectin for years, and it's a good source. But because the government was so committed to this vaccine and in bed with the pharmaceutical companies to distribute it and to make these pharmaceutical companies trillionaires, we weren't even allowed to talk about alternative treatments. There was a doctor who lost her practice because she went on Twitter and said, hey, you should go outside and get some fresh air. That's going to help. Like, just at the, I mean, where I hope we look back on this time as a very shameful time. I hope we do. Like, just for somebody to say, hey, you need to get outside and get walking and get in the sunshine. It's really going to help you. That was causing people to lose their jobs, to have their social media accounts pulled, and media companies were punished for running articles like that. Again, going back to that Founding Fathers quote about how without freedom of speech, we just can't have wisdom. We can't suss out error and improve if we don't have the freedom to discuss and illuminate all sides of an issue and break it down and argue about it and find out what's right and what's wrong. Calvin Coolidge said in an address to the press, a press club, I don't know where he was. He was giving an address. I just found this online. But one thing he says this: the public press under an autocracy is necessarily a true agent of propaganda. If the public press gets into bed with the government, they will be the agent of propaganda. And the irony of this whole COVID nonsense was that they were labeling truth propaganda while they were disseminating propaganda from the government. You should be very worried about any press outlet that uses terms like misinformation or disinformation frequently, when they are deciding what is misinformation and what is disinformation. Oh, because even when what we think is misinformation has changed so much in just the last 6 months alone, that when I was researching this topic, I was reading papers from places like the Brookings Institute from January of 2022. So a year ago, just a mere 12 months ago, January of 2022, saying, positing, like, without irony or question at all, this misinformation about COVID being not affecting children to a great degree has been disproven and yada, yada, yada. But now it's opposite. If you go to the Brookings Institute, you're going to find conversation that says the opposite of that. The Brookings Institute, as early as January or as late as January of 2021, was giving us gospel COVID information that is now accepted as questionable. The conventional wisdom has changed on it. For some of us, it's never changed, but it's what's been allowed to be said out loud. It's changed in a mere 12 months. But at that time, it was considered beyond question. And they were labeling any competing ideas as misinformation. Well, what is it? What does a media outlet mean when they refer to something as misinformation? First, how can it possibly be media and be information, misinformation at the same time? It's up to you to decide what's misinformation or disinformation. If the media is using the term misinformation, you need to look at that from the opposite point of view. Back it up. What does it mean when you say something is misinformation? What you're saying is the information that we're receiving is not uniform. Misinformation is information that doesn't encourage uniform thought. What happens when the government bestows media power? When the government is the one to tell you what you can and can't say as the press, what happens? Well, if you're a progressive, just look at it from the point of view of Donald Trump, right? Donald Trump was in office and he talked about the fake news and he hated fake news. And you all were like, this is dangerous. Government should not be insulting the press like this. You're inviting distrust. You're inviting maybe violence. And it was a bad thing. Why did that change when Donald Trump left office? Because you are intellectually dishonest. Because you do not know how to reason out what you're saying. Because you will not apply the same rules to the people you like. Understanding that politics in this country is cyclical, and at some point there's going to be an administration in charge that you don't like. So how about preserving liberty for everybody so it's there when you need it? Like, that makes sense to me. The government should have no hand in any of this. This is so dangerous, because then if you let the government tell you what to do on one thing, you let the government to tell you what to do on everything. And that's what Twitter found out the hard way. So Twitter ended up, once Musk and his reporters started going through all of the information, turns out Twitter had a bunch of former FBI employees on their payroll. The only reason they were former FBI employees is because they had just moved from being under the employ of the FBI to the employ of Twitter. Given what the FBI was asking of Twitter, they had to send their agents over there because there were so much that they were asking Twitter to do. So Twitter bent the knee on one thing, right? And then because government will never stop reaching for power, they were like, oh, well, if we made them do this, we can keep making them do it. And so the requests were so overwhelming that Twitter actually had to just go ahead and put FBI agents on the payroll so that they could sift through all the requests. It was becoming overwhelming. In fact, the amount of information and the amount of work that Twitter did on behalf of the FBI, censoring and banning accounts. And by the way, it went from FBI going, hey, we need you to red flag some of these disinformation accounts. It went from that to politicians like Adam Schiff calling Twitter and going, you know what? I don't like this reporter. I didn't like how he reported on me. I want you to ban his account. All of those requests went through Twitter. And there were so many by the end of everything, by the time Elon Musk came into this picture, that Twitter had to hire the FBI agents to be the go-between. And there was so much work, it ended up that Twitter was basically working for free on a lot. They were basically overworked, underpaid government agents, the government consultants. That was the end product of what they did. And there's proof. Even Yoel Roth, who is not a good guy and who jumped wholeheartedly into this collusion with the government and with other media outlets, even Yoel Roth at one point was like, this is a lot. This is almost too much. Like, where do we draw the line here? It's like we're just an arm of the government. Twitter found themselves in a situation that they could not get out of and did not get out of until Elon Musk came into the picture. So as soon as government becomes a benefactor of the media, I guess you could say, then everything's corrupted. It's why I don't believe that government should support arts programs. I know we love the National Endowment for the Arts and we love the Kennedy Center for the Arts. And we have this idea that a healthy government supports the arts. No, the government has no business in the arts, because I think there's a good case to be made that art is subversive. That real art is subversive in some way. I mean, you have art that's like, you know, your dog's playing poker And you know, you have things that people like, but art is commentary also. And if the government comes along and says, well, no, you know what? You have to limit your commentary. I mean, that's what they did in East Germany. The Lives of Others is a great movie that illustrates this. It's a heart-wrenching movie. The Lives of Others details, you know, the closing months and weeks before the fall of the Berlin Wall. And in East Germany, there's a communist agent who's assigned to monitor a playwright. And this playwright is a very celebrated playwright in East Germany, but it's because he does the government's bidding. And what it has done is it has bled all of the art out of his work. And he's making these plays that he hates, that he can't stand. He can't be creative, because to be too creative would be to, you know, art sort of is a reflection of life. Think of all the movies you see that are about the worst times in our country. All the movies you've seen about slavery, the civil rights movement, suffrage, the war on drugs, the war on poverty, like pick a divorce, pick a subject, right? There's movies and TV shows ad nauseum that discuss the terrible moments that this nation has gone through in all of those issues. Imagine that we're not allowed to make that kind of art. And how does that shift the mood and the knowledge and the growth of a nation? Once you give the government the ability to put a stamp on approval, either through funding or just through allowing something to be done, put a stamp of approval on a work of art, I believe you have changed art itself. And that's how media is as well. Media should not have a comfortable relationship with government. I'm not saying it needs to be contentious and tense all the time, but there should be some level of tension between media and government. There must be, because otherwise what you get is what we're seeing happened with Twitter and other media outlets and the State Department and the FBI, which is complete collusion that really did a lot of damage, dangerous, dangerous damage. And we may find out even worse consequences now that we're being allowed to take the lid off this myocarditis information in relationship to the vaccine.
Hey, it's Kira Davis here. Are you like me and looking to get in shape for summer? Well, I've got a deal that can help you. You can eat stress-free this spring with Factor's delicious, ready-to-eat meals. Every fresh, never-frozen meal is chef-crafted, dietitian-approved, and ready to eat in just 2 minutes. Choose from a weekly menu of 35 options, including popular options like Calorie Smart, Keto, Protein Plus, or Vegan and Veggie. Also, discover more than 60 add-ons every week, like breakfast, on-the-go lunch, snacks, and beverages to help you stay fueled and feel good all day long. What are you waiting for? Get started today and fuel up for your springtime goals. One of my favorite things about Factor Meals is how easy they are. You can get chef-prepared meals on the table in 2 minutes with Factor's ready-to-eat meals, so you can get back to doing what you love this spring. Are you looking for something a little fancier? Say no more. You can try meals that feature premium ingredients like filet mignon, shrimp, truffle butter, broccolini, and asparagus. Factor is your solution for fast, premium meals without the need for cooking. And if you're the type that likes to look out for the environment while you're getting in shape for that summer bod, you'll be happy to know that Factor is celebrating Earth Day all month long. So look out for the Earth Month Eats badge on the menu for their lowest carbon footprint meals. And fans of Just Listen to Yourself get a very special deal on Factor this month. Head to factormeals.com/JLTY50 and use code JLTY50 to get 50% off your first month. Plus, get this, plus 20% off your next month. I got to tell you guys that again, because I know you can't believe it. Use code JLTY50 at factormeals.com/JLTY50 to get 50% off your first box, plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is active.
This is Darvio Kingpin Marl, co-host of the Outlaws Radio Show. And if you haven't heard our show before, check out this clip.
Bhatia Unger Sarga.
It's really about this class divide that we're seeing in America. What happened was, over the last 20 years, journalists and other intellectuals, college professors, people in the entertainment industry, they have become increasingly separated from the rest of America, from working class Americans, from lower middle class Americans, from poor Americans, and they've really become part of the elites. So journalism used to be this like working class trade. It used to be basically like being an electrician. You made around the same amount of money as an electrician or a plumber. Today, journalism is part of the American elites. If you're a journalist working in America today, you start off making very little money, but having to live in very expensive cities, which means you have to be rich, you have to come from money, right? And by the end of your career, you're in the top 10%. And so I argue that as journalists have sort of undergone the status revolution, they really stopped writing for or about the working class, and they've started instead to sort of consolidate their power the way that elites always do.
Subscribe to the Outlaws Radio Show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, or wherever you get your podcasts. That's OUTLAWS, the Outlaws Radio Show, an FCB radio podcast.
Look, I think the press is free to be biased. I think the press is free to contextualize. I think the press is free to say, oh, we love Obama and hate Donald Trump. I think the press is free to do all that. It's a pain in the ass. And that's what Trump was always complaining about. And I think rightfully so. But as long as there's a free press for all of us, I think that is just fine. That's why the rise of the right-wing media is so important. I know a lot of you progressives out there are like, oh, Fox News, faux news. Oh, faux news doesn't, so they call themselves fair and balanced, but they're not balanced. No, they're not balanced. They are the balance. There's a difference. Red state is not balanced. It's there in the name, red state. We are the balance. We create a balance in media. So yeah, if progressive media wants to be like New York Times, like we're not going to carry any of the president's remarks live, we're going to contextualize it for you. All right, fine. If you guys want to do that, fine. But then here's this other outlet who's just going to carry it directly and let the people decide. And that's how, okay, then that's fine. I don't like it, but that is fine. It's when the government gets their hands in it that it becomes dangerous to the relationships of Americans to each other and to our republic. I want to leave you with this question. What happens to a government that doesn't fear the press? I think I'll leave it there and I'll let you answer. You can write me jlty@protonmail.com, jlty@protonmail.com. What happens to a government that doesn't fear the press? All right, guys, I don't know if I would put this under one of my best episodes. It was a lot to think through, a lot to sift through. So forgive me if I've been back and forth, but help me out here, really. I would appreciate some communications from you guys. Help me, you know, kind of finishing out these thoughts. Let me know what you thought or how you could maybe make what I was saying a bit more concise. I did my best on this one. Don't forget to go pre-order my book. It is called Drawing Lines, Why Conservatives Must Begin to Battle Fiercely in the Arena of Ideas. And it is, as the title indicates, not really a book for my progressive listeners or my liberal friends. But if you want to support me, please go buy that book. You can pre-order it now. You can go to Amazon and pre-order it. We always love to get those pre-order numbers, or go directly to my publisher, faithfultexts.com. FaithfulTexts, that's plural, T-E-X-T-S, FaithfulTexts, wait, let me make sure, Faithful, oh no, no, it's not plural, my bad, FaithfulTexts, T-E-X-T.com, and you'll see I'm right there on the front page, you'll see my book, you click on it, you get a 15% discount ordering directly through the publisher's page, so that's super cool, so don't forget to do that, and as always, don't forget to subscribe. If you've not subscribed to this podcast, please do. It doesn't cost you anything, it's free, and those numbers are like the pre-order book numbers, like, you know, our sponsors love to see that, that's how we can stay on air, and it's such a big help that doesn't cost you, so I really appreciate your subscriptions, and please rate and review also if you get a chance. We also appreciate that. You can follow me on Twitter @RealKiraDavis. And If you want some lighter fare, if you're tired of thinking, you get done with this episode or other episodes that I do and you're just tired of thinking through things and you don't want to think, you just want to you just want a nice cup of hot cocoa and a few good laughs, head on over to A Very Merry Podcast, my Christmas podcast, Christmas movie podcast with Amelia Hamilton. We used to call it a Hallmark podcast, but Hallmark's had some issues this season, and we've had to kind of expand our brand a little bit. So we're not exclusively a Hallmark podcast, but we're like a Christmasland podcast. We love those cheesy, warm, benign Christmas movies that everyone makes fun of. And we've decided to skip around. This week we did the Lindsay Lohan Christmas movie over on Netflix. And that was really fun. We actually had a great time with that one. So you might want to go listen to that. That's A Very Merry Podcast. And until I see you next time, remember, every once in a while, just stop and listen to yourself.
I pray the Lord my soul today. That we want what's made, then we want what's made. All we got is us, no one can take that away. Yeah. So don't go spade, it's gonna be okay. I pray the Lord my soul today. That we want what's made, then we want what's made. All we got is us, no one can take that away. Yeah. So don't go spade, it's gonna be okay.
This has been a presentation of the FCB Podcast Network, where real talk lives. Visit us online at fcbpodcasts.com.